Demonte Johnson spent much of his childhood with more than 10 family members in a three-bedroom house. He says his aunt was in and out of jail, and a cousin started a gang on his street. He was, for a time, homeless, but eventually ended up living with his godmother.
Living with my godmother helped me focus more on school. It helped me get into one of the best high schools back home. And life was supposed to be golden after that. You know, I was supposed to go off to college and become this big, bad engineer. A week into my college freshman year, my little brother dies in a car accident back home. And that sent me on this spiral of depression simply because a week before that, I was just kind of joking around, fixing up my mom's car. Then I used his car to do it. And once we got both cars fixed, we're heading home. I'll pretend like we're about to drag race. And then my next phone call when I'm out in Baltimore is, oh, he died racing a car. So, I mean, that really messed me up. And I just couldn't really bounce back from that. I went from being a 4.1 college student to a 1.7.
Demonte bounced around a bit, and his family became the subject of national news. His brother was the main eyewitness in the fatal shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. Demonte later had his own run-in with law enforcement and was charged on 3 counts, including assaulting a police officer. He says he was trying to help his brothers. That incident eventually caused him to lose a job he'd gotten in Phoenix. But as luck would have it, that same day he got a text from Opportunities for Youth about a job fair he'd signed up for. It went better than he could have expected.
I wanted a way to get back in school. I wanted a job that wasn't working in the restaurant industry, and I wanted my job to have some meaning. So boom, just from that one text months ago, you know, here I am sitting here now. So everything kind of got worked out to where now I wear multiple different hats, but ultimately my job is pretty much the same. Help people who have a similar story or a similar struggle to my story or struggles or anything that I could have been dealing with that I could help them with, I now have the power to do that.
Demonte Johnson is now the Youth Outreach Coordinator for Opportunities for Youth. Opportunity youth are defined as 16 to 24-year-olds who are neither in school nor working. Just a few years ago, about 1 in 5 Maricopa County residents in that age range were considered opportunity youth. That's now down to 1 in 7. Demonte and Jim Hoyt, Executive Director of Opportunities for Youth, recently stopped by, and I asked Hoyt how typical it is that someone like Demonte basically fell into his lap.
I've been fortunate enough to have a couple of our employees fall into our lap. Opportunities for Youth is actually under the College of Public Service and Community Solutions for Arizona State University. And so under the college's mission is to really be able to outreach and to be able to change the community and be of service to those that are in need. And, you know, I'm paid to do my job. And I can talk about Opportunity Youth. But bringing Demonte along today is someone whose life has been transformed, that he has been able to talk about where he's been and what has changed his life. And my experience is that the world is filled with people like Demonte. There are 75,000 Opportunity Youth in Maricopa County alone. And many times they're labeled as being lazy. However, there's many different situations that have caused them to become Opportunity Youth.
Not that long ago, the Phoenix metro area had the highest rate in the country of opportunity youth. It is lower now. Is it as low as it can be, do you think?
Oh, absolutely not. The direction that Opportunities for Youth is going is working with governmental agencies, working with educational institutions, working with businesses, working with for-profit and nonprofit organizations to really make education, to be able to make a career, to be able to make access to what all young people should have at their doorstep. That's really what our mission is to be able to do a collaborative impact, to be able to bring all of these organizations and people together, to be able to together be able to lift opportunity youth out of the current situation that they're in and be able to provide them hope to a new pathway.
Demonte, when you meet with people, how much of your message is sort of inspirational, like you tell your life story, you explain to them that, you know, they can be on a different path? And how much of it is sort of logistical nuts and bolts, like if this is what you want to do, this is who you need to talk to, or this is what you have to do to make this happen?
Well, see, that's the thing about people, like it varies, to be honest. Some people, you know, they need to be inspired. Some people need to, like, they need that person standing right in front of them to sort of like first identify with them and understand like that my struggle is real and that the reason why I am right here isn't because I want to be, it's because of X, Y, and Z. So it's like, okay, I've also been through X, Y, and Z, and now this is where I am today. So if you also, like, if you would like to do the same thing, I can help you. Here are these, you know, here are these resources. Also, there are people who sort of like are at that point that I was later on in life where it's like, okay, I need to do something. And they already have that fire in them. They just don't know what direction. So that's sort of where, you know, I can come in again. It's like, okay, well, here's some places that you can go to. Like, say, you know, you want educational help, but you don't have your GED just yet. Okay, so we have this re-engagement center right here. You know, we have College Depot if you just want apprenticeships or things of that nature. It's just connecting with that person in front of you. Honestly, that's 90% of the job.
Do you find that people are generally receptive to your message? Like, do you find that there are people who want the kind of assistance that you're looking to offer them?
Yes and no. I mean, there's always going to be some kickback. But ultimately, I feel like everybody wants to do better in life. You know, nobody wants to be in that, like, stuck in a situation all their life and just have this be it, you know?
One of the key things is being able to be, to persevere, because someone may not be open to your message today, but our outreach team, when they go out into the community, that they're constantly touching base with Opportunity Youth. And it may not be the first time that you meet them, and it may not be the second, but it might be the third time that you that they're starting to listen to you and to open up. So many of the Opportunity Youth have issues of prior experience with the justice system, with addictions, with homelessness. And so really, we need to approach them and be able to help them overcome the existing situations that they have before we can really even start to move towards an educational or a career pathway.
Jim, to what do you attribute the fact that Maricopa County has gotten better, that there are fewer of these Opportunity Youth now than there were just a few years ago?
I think a lot of it is through the initiative that that started in 2015. I believe that it is the structure of us bringing together the community to work for collaborative impact rather than, well, my agency wants to help this person or my agency wants to provide this service or I want them to come to my school, but really finding what is best for the Opportunity Youth themselves.
I'm curious what you each think the ultimate potential of this program is. I mean, do you think you can get it to a point where there are zero Opportunity Youth? Is that a realistic goal, do you think?
I don't think that we're ever going to get it to zero, because it takes time to be able to outreach and to find individuals in that. One of the things that we're really looking at is trying to also look and collaborate with organizations prior to them becoming Opportunity Youth. You know, we're trying to put a stopgap into the
preventive
into the
kind of measures.
Exactly. Do you know? I mean, it'd be great to see us going completely out of business in 10 years. However, I don't think that's the reality, but I think that we can definitely reduce the 75,000 that are currently in Maricopa County. Look what we've been able to do in 3 years.
DeMonte, I would imagine that your job is at once very heartening and disheartening, because you have the ability to have such an impact on people's lives. And it must be very heartening when somebody that you've communicated with really goes on to make something of themselves. But also, I would imagine, very disheartening when you're trying to get somebody to take the step, maybe somebody that you see a little bit of yourself in, and they're just not doing it.
Yeah, some days are easier than others. I can't lie about that. But I also do understand that even those individuals with thicker skin, those will take a little bit more oomph to get through. I do know with time and patience, like, somebody will, whether that be my voice, whether it be some voice in their family, eventually somewhere down the road, that person is going to wake up, they're going to want more, and they're either going to remember our organization, they're going to remember my name, they're going to remember one of the interns, and they'll come back and know that they have a way out.
So you just have to make sure that your mindset is to keep at it and try not to get discouraged.
Like Jim said, perseverance is the key.
Jim, DeMonte, thanks a lot for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Jim Hoyt is the Executive Director of Opportunities for Youth. DeMonte Johnson is the group's Youth Outreach Coordinator.